How do you introduce yourself to our Auroville radio listener?
I am a guest in Auroville since January 2011. And in fact, I stay there 6 months and I am a civil engineer at the beginning. But it's the past when I say that. It's my past because I'm old now. And civil engineer doesn't mean anything, you know. I don't work as a civil engineer in a company or something like that. So I am a chercheur, chercheur of myself. That's the reason I am in Auroville. I am looking for me.
You're trying to find yourself?
Yes.
Since how long you've been connected to Auroville or...?
I was 18 in 1968. No, I heard of Auroville, but there was a lot of very interesting things happening in Europe at the same time. We had a very big hope of a new world or something like that. So I heard of Auroville, but I stayed in France because there was a lot of things very interesting around me. And I forgot after. And the life run. And in 2009, I had a friend of me, a woman who was following a guru in south of in India, and she sent me a message, oh, why you don't come with me in the ashram, 15 days, something like that. So I answered, okay, but if I go to see you, I want to see Auroville to compare with my when I was 18. You know?
Okay.
So I came the first time in 2009 in Auroville, and I came back in 2010, two weeks I think, just to take contacts. And I decided after to come 6 months. Perhaps I will decide to come 6 years. We'll see.
How was this new world in your imagination?
About Auroville? New. Ah, it's difficult. If you interview me at my arrival, I was very enthusiastic, you know. And now I began to hear something, to see some things, and my enthusiasm is a little bit less. But I like to be there. It's very comfortable for everything. But in the same time, I am a little bit disappointed about relationships between people, you know? Because I imagine before it's a kind of paradise. Everybody is very open. Everybody is... friendly and things, and I constat it's not really the case. It's like everywhere, you know, the relationships. the life is different, but relationships is, I think it's close, we find everywhere in the world, with the same difficulties, the same ego, things like that. But the difference, perhaps, is the people have the same nature, but they try to do something on themselves. That's the reason they are there, generally.
When did you first come to know about Mother?
I'm not sure I understand well the question, but I think the mother is like a kind of idol, you know. It's I think if the mother was alive, some things would be easier, because it seems since she died, some decisions are impossible, because evolution easy it seems. Evolution is impossible. Everything is fixed at the date of his death, of her death. It's like I feel. But I don't attack anybody. I understand that somebody said, "Our mother sings that," or Sri Aurobindo sings that. But those people are stopped in the past also. That's my feel. Sorry.
It's okay. You were working in Egypt for how long?
I work in the Matrimondir, okay. And other subject also. I work since beginning of 2011.
2011.
Yeah, 4 months.
4 months.
Oh, I began to know a lot of things. And I live there also at this house, and the owner, it's not an owner, but the man who lives there, he's there for since 40 years, you know. He knows everybody, he knows everything. So it's a very big source of information for me.
You know, you had been working in Egypt for a long time. Egypt?
Yes.
Egypt for a
in
long
Egypt.
Time.
Egypt? Oh, yeah. Yes, since 1973, the first time I came in Egypt. From 1973 to 1985, I went in Egypt four times a year. For a few weeks each time, and I stopped between 84 and 85 and 95 because of the birth of my daughter. You know, I stopped 10 years about. But I went many and many and many times in Egypt, and each time I went on archaeological sites all around Egypt. And not also, not only Egypt, I went also in the Sodom and Greece also, on archaeological sites. So I cannot remember how many times I've been in Egypt, perhaps more than 100 times, I don't remember.
Do you connect your experience in Egypt and in Auroville with the mother?
That is a basic question. Before I came in Auroville, I never heard of the connection between the mother and Egypt. And of course, I was there, and my owner said to me, I have a book written by Claire about Akhenaton and the mother. I know that book, I read, of course. And it was interesting for me. But that's the first time I connect to the stuff. So I don't want, I say at the presentation, I don't want to engage myself in that way at all, like that, without reflection, you know. I am open. I am open about kind of reincarnation, things like that. But in the work of archaeology in Egypt, it's really difficult to explain one idea like that. If you explain that, you are pushed on the side. You are pushed on the side because scientific people, they won't prove or never. They are looking for proof, beginning of proof. You know, the mother said, "I am the reincarnation of Queen T.E." For a scientific, it's not a beginning of proof, you know. But we can.
Yeah, you said in that day, you know, like it's you can't be specific. What always inspired you? Was it a like call within inside you? To go to Egypt, after being a civil engineer, when you completed it, you wanted to go to Egypt?
No, I stay a civil engineer in Paris. It's my main work. I went in Egypt time to times. Not I don't know the word in English, not all during 1 year, for example. So it was very interesting for me because it changed completely my work. I am the work in Paris and the work in Egypt, and in some case, and the work in Egypt is a very manual work. Civil engineer, it's a work with the head, so time to time we must stop to work with the head. And it's very interesting to work with hands, because when you work it's like a kind of yoga, when you garden, something like that. Your mind is stopped to running, and some things can happen, can go into. You can feel something if you work with your hands. I work often with my hands. I work the wood, I work a lot of things everywhere. I like it. And you know, it's a kind of gift also. When you do something with your hand and you give it to somebody, it's a wonderful gift. It's better than buy something at the shop. Corner shop, you know. And at the same time, in Egypt, the workers work with their hands. I do the same 3,000 years later.
What has been your source of inspiration?
What kind of inspiration? You think I have an inspiration? Yeah. Inspiration. I'm not. If I have certainly I have time to time inspiration, but I don't know exactly. The inspiration is in the air. I made many presentation about my work in Paris. You know, around. Sustainable development is completely different, huh? And sometimes people ask me a question and I answer something I don't know. I know that answer. If you understand what I
yeah.
It's wow. It's incredible for me. So I think all ideas are around us. There is just a moment when you are on the good channel, like the radio, like you, huh? And the answer exists, exists every time. Sometimes the answer is here, but as nobody asks a question, and you not ask a question to yourself, the answer stay out of you. If you ask the question, the answer is coming. You know Bible, yeah? And the beginning of Bible is at the beginning was the world, it means something can exist, but it really exists when you pronounce it.
Have you written any books?
I never written a book, but I written a lot of articles in newspapers, something like that, but not really about Egypt. I be very careful about not to write something about Egypt, because I'm not a specialist. I'm a civil engineer. I can write something about civil engineer, but not about what I feel, you know, about Egypt. I can speak about, but not read. Right.
You know, in this modern day where everyone is talking about many advanced development and everything, but when you see in Egypt and when you see at those architecture and all those things, it's like a big amusement in this modern day. So how do you say to the people, normal people who wants to know about Egypt?
You know, there are two things. You can give people information, transparency maximum. It's a scientific work, you know. And you can give dream. It's not the same thing. When I make my presentation, I am in the between those two balance, you know. Because some information as scientific information is not mine, it's information, you know. And with what I say about those information, I can give a part of dream for people. But dream, not completely utopic dream, a real dream based on real things I live.
Practical,
yes. Because I read a lot of books about Egypt, you know, books, I think, other civilization help Egyptian, you know. It's possible, why not? But it's not necessary to imagine that, to have a dream, with only we find. It's already there. It's so incredible, and at the same time, we know things are in the reality, you know, and it's wonderful, and it's a part of it. But the dream, the reality stops there, and the dream begins there. No, the border is not absolutely fixed, and I think the border in 2011 is not the same than in the 19th century, not the same in 22nd century.
You know, when you were in Egypt,
yes,
in the pyramids, you make so many discoveries, new things.
Yes.
What touched your heart the most?
What?
Touched your heart the most? What was something you found out?
I tried to answer the question last night, but you know where you work. You have not a lot of emotion. You are in the work, and the work is difficult, dangerous, etc. So we don't discover a lot of things each minute. Huh? We have more events when we don't discover anything, and sometimes we discover a little object. At the beginning, we think it's nothing. For example, I'm sorry, I don't answer directly to your question. I remember in the sand, we found little balls like that, black, like petrol, you know, balls of petrol. But we have many and many and many like that. So we were going to the west, and one of the Egyptian workers said, oh, perhaps it's something, he began to do that, and he removed the goudron, the petrol, and inside there was a little ball of gold, pearl, like a necklace. We find thousands and thousands and thousands, no, not thousands, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and it had been possible to do the complete necklace, you know. And you know, the discover is not generally immediately. Sometimes, like that, you discover something, it seems not interesting, and after a few minutes it appears something, and after something better, etc. So there is steps in the discovery, except the cow I show you.
Yes.
It was really impressive, because we remove one stone and just we were in front of the nose of the cow. So it was a shock. And with a little camera, we saw there was many things around, but we don't saw at all. But we feel immediately it was very important. And you know, we feel first there is something important. And perhaps I can say you. And you know, you cannot stay at all or during the day or long time in that kind of emotion. It's impossible. So the emotion is gone, like that. So sometimes we make jobs or things like
when
that
you said you
to
Maya
to calm a little bit the emotion, you know. And sometimes we make jokes with a cow or something like that. So, but I think it's important because your heart or your biology cannot support emotional impermanence. It's impossible.
In Tibetan Buddhism, they express with the paintings in the monasteries. If you go to Tibet, you see lots of old paintings. And in China, they found terracotta soldiers.
Yes.
And in Egypt, it's like this. We found all these pyramids. So what do you think all these establishments which we have discovered in modern day is leading us toward? Where are we supposed to go now after this? As you said, it's been there since 3,000 years, but we have been digging it since 200 years. It's nothing.
Yes.
So, what is the future possibility?
The future possibility is to continue. I think now everybody is asking for new discovering or something like that. It's not the deal of the scientific generally. They are not looking at all who, for treasures or something like that. People like the idea of find treasures, but the treasures for a scientific man is not the same than for the public. You know, Tutankhamon, yes, Tutankhamon, it's a fabulous treasure, hein? But you don't find Tutankhamon every day, but you can find small things. Sarcophagus or mummies, like I show you, mummies of cats, very important for the knowledge of spirituality or things like that. Perhaps you understand more things finding when you found a mummy of cat about spirituality than when you found the pharaoh with chairs and a lot of golden treasure, things like that. And also, when we found the robber, you know, okay, it's very important also, not only to understand how he died, what he ate, was he, was it a man, a woman, something like that, no. It means also robbers exist in that time. So in the same time, you can understand there was a lot of priests, a lot of spirituality, people who follow God, and in the same time there was robbers. They don't think anything. They don't to believe in God or anything. They try to catch something. You know, it was not a monolithic society. It's interesting.
You mean the Tomb Raiders,
yes.
The thieves?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You know, people are more interested in the treasures and all this. What kind of goals were there?
The treasures or the spectacular. You know, everything spectacular. Hein? You know, spectacular. The pyramid of Djoser or Cheops are very spectacular. The people are like that. Completely. It's something incredible. If you go to Karnak near Luxor, that's the biggest temple in the world. You are like that in the temple, you know, you cannot understand something like that. So people want in our society, perhaps more in the Western countries, you know, because of the TV or movies, I don't know, they want more and more and more spectacular things, you know. So they want to see big things, etc. And I don't like that. course, because I think it's not the... Yes, it exists, but it's not the most important, I think. And the other thing I want to tell about tourism, perhaps, you know. I understand. Everybody wants to go in Egypt. Everybody wants to go in China. And so, everybody, and so it's so easy to go with plane. So it's not a good thing for the archaeology, I'm sure, and it's not a good thing for the knowledge also, because the people they go 5 days somewhere. They saw a lot of things, they don't understand anything at all. And it's like the supermarket. No, you have how many pyramids you want to see? Oh, 80, no problem. So yeah, I think it's too much in that way. In the same time, it's a very important resource of money. You know, input of money for the countries, and also for a little bit for archaeology. Generally, the money for archaeology is not coming for tourism; it's coming for authorities or something like that. I don't know where the money of tourism is going to exactly. Not for the people, also. You know, in Egypt, if you you add the money from tourism, the money from Canal de Suez, the money from petrol, Egypt, and the money for agriculture, Egypt is a country very rich, and 80 or 90% of the population is poor. Something is bad.
I have one question for you. Why do you think you are not? You are still an amateur to answer questions about Egypt.
It's a fact. I'm not a specialist. You know, I don't know what is it a specialist. Yeah. But in Europe, in West countries, and in India also, I think, you are a specialist if you did a lot of studies in university, etc. You have a diploma, you are a specialist. You can be a good specialist, a bad specialist, but you are a specialist, yes sir.
But what about the experience from the university of life?
About the experience. I am a specialist of the life, perhaps, because I am old. And I have 60 years of university of life. But you know, in fact, you know, in that item, in that topic of archaeology, the people who are specialists of archaeology, they don't like at all that people coming outside have any idea. You know, it's a conflict of borders, you know, of knowledge. I think that's the reason I took a lot of precautions, you know, not to to be in conflict with my colleagues and my friends, because they are also my friends. You know, when you work in that conditions many and many and many years, you know well the people. Because, for example, we stay long times, many weeks, many months together sometimes, without our husband or wife, you know. We are a group, a kind of family, with all the problems of the family, you know. In the same times, we know well each other, and we like to be together, because we joke, because we found things together. I think you are pregnant. When the baby appears, you did something together. When we find something together, it's our baby. So
something profound you told us now.
Yeah. We're a kind of little family.
Yeah.
Huh? With all the problems of the family.
What is your dream?
What is my dream?
Oh. Are you living your dream?
When I was young, after many times in Egypt, I was persuaded. I had something very important to discover in Egypt under the big pyramid, the big one of Cheops. It was in my dream, and I dream really in the night about that, and slowly and slowly it's disappear, that kind of dream, and perhaps the dream is my dream is to constat that the life is so rich. You know, 2 years ago I didn't know a day. 2 years later, I will do a presentation about Egypt. I will be interviewed by you. It's two young and sympathetic people, and it's a wonderful life. You know, and you can imagine I was a civil engineer in Paris, like a civil servant. You imagine a civil servant in an office, seeing a paper during the day. And my life was in Egypt, in Brazil, in Canada, in Greece, everywhere, in Auroville. So the life is so wonderful. But if I try to remember my dream when I was young, I was not able to imagine all the things happen after.
It's not under our control.
No, it's you know, I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm 60 years old. I begin to be an old man, but
you're still young.
Yes. Thank you. I know, but.
You made us laugh that day.
You know, if I have 20 years more, it can happen a lot of things. Perhaps I will be a specialist in 20 years.
for
specialist
us,
of Auroville, I don't know.
For us, you already are, actually. You give a lot of emotion for us that day. Any message you would like to give to our Auroville radio listeners?
I don't know if I have a message to Aurovillian. I think the Aurovillian have a lot of message for me. The universe.
Any message to any other strange human being?
Be open. Joke as you, the most you can joke in your life. Because I see that you know, you were to my presentation, and I try with my bad English to make one or two jokes like that. And I'm sure people remember me and remember the presentation because of the jokes. I'm not completely sure about Egypt, because Egypt is something fantastic, it's beautiful. But I know that because I made a lot, very, very many and many other presentations on very difficult subject. Sustainable development is a completely non-joking subject, you can imagine. I arrived to make laugh all the people on that subject. And some people encounter me many years later, and they say to me, I remember you because you make a presentation, and we were laughing at all. And you know, I'm sure that that's a good way to be in joy, to be to love for together. it's like love and love. Yeah, it's very close. Huh? And
thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.